Well, we started our service, a few wry smiles I noticed, by showing the Sainsbury's advert that remembers the Christmas truce of 1914. In many ways, it captures something of the Christmas spirit. The photos can be on the slide. Thanks, Andy. Germans and Allied forces together, singing Silent Night. In the midst of a terrible war, peace spontaneously breaking out. That was probably was a football match too. And no doubt the Germans won on penalties. And here we are, 100 years later, remembering that famous Christmas truce. And Sainsbury's tells us, rightly, Christmas is for sharing. And so that truce, that football match, 100 years ago, has become somewhat as a symbol in our society for Christmas, hasn't it? In the darkness of man's inhumanity to man, the light of the Christmas truce shines out, doesn't it? It speaks of hope in a dark world. But tonight, briefly, I just want us to think for a moment about what kind of hope that is. I was a student in the late 80s, and so because of that, I cannot think of the 1914 truce apart from hearing the lyrics of a song by The Farm, All Together Now, which came out in 1990. The song was originally called No Man's Land, and it contains this poignant verse. In it, it says, "The same old story again, all those tears shed in vain, nothing learnt and nothing gained, only hope remains." Only hope remains. What does that even mean? I know that a cynic once defined marriage as the triumph of hope over experience. But is that really the only hope we've got? Yeah, they stopped fighting for a day, and then they went back to fight for 4 years of some of the most bloody warfare that mankind has ever seen. 10 million soldiers, 7 million civilians died, all fighting over no man's land, which on average was only about 250 yards wide. And so let's be honest this evening, actually the Christmas truce of 1914 is probably a more accurate depiction of Christmas than we care to imagine or admit. Across the land, Christmas Day is the one day, isn't it, when fighting stops. You know, Uncle Albert said something to his niece 20 years ago, and she's never forgotten it, but they all turn up at Christmas Day, and we don't talk about it for that one day. For one day, it's put aside, but only for a day. Friction between mums and daughters, fathers and sons, whoever and whatever. There is hurt and baggage that we leave aside. We sweep under the carpet and ignore. There is a Christmas truce for one day, and on Boxing Day, normal hostilities resume. And so when Sainsbury's tell us that Christmas is for sharing, let's face it, what they really mean is they sell the escapist narcotics that we need to get through the day. Let's face it, I did just say what you think I've just said. Sainsbury's is a drug dealer, is what I'm saying. Now, I'm not being very cheery, am I? Come on, it's Christmas, you're probably thinking, cheer up. Well, here comes the good news. We've just had the beginning of John's Gospel read to us. And this evening, I just want to spend just a few moments thinking out that verse that's on the screen, John chapter 1, verse 5. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That one sentence sums up what Christmas is all about. Especially since when John, that's the one of Jesus' disciples who wrote it, he originally wrote his gospel in Greek. The word he used that's translated there, overcome, is ambiguous. He deliberately chose a word that can be used in two different ways. What it could mean is overcome in the sense of mastered. In fact, if I use in English, if I use the word grasped, you might understand. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not grasped it. You can use that word grasp in two ways, can't you? You can say grasped in the sense of, aha, I've got it, I've grasped it, I've understood it. Or you could say grasped in the sense of, I snatched it, it's mine, I control it. Or maybe the word mastered, equally. Yeah, the light is shining in the darkness and the darkness has not mastered it. You can master something in a sense of understanding it, like an idea. I've mastered a new language or a skill. Or you can master it like a master and a servant. You control it. You overpower it. Well, what I want us to see tonight, just very briefly, is that actually Jesus is the light of the world. But we can understand that, if I can light this candle, we can actually understand that in two different ways. Andy, if you can move that on now. Actually, those two ways help us to understand how Jesus is the light that's come into the darkness. We could say, first of all, that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not grasped the meaning of the light. In a survey in 2012 by the Bible Society in this country, only 32% of the country knew that the word Emmanuel we've sung means God is with us. Another survey from 2010, 51% of the population agreed with the statement, the birth of Jesus is irrelevant to my Christmas. And then we come to Sainsbury's itself. Sainsbury's this year, they sell their Christmas cards in various ways, in multi-packs. Well, 23% of those multi-packs actually contain a Christian image or theme about Christmas. And if you think about the cards sold singly by Sainsbury's, it drops further. This year, out of 1,394 single Christmas cards they sell, only 11, that's 0.78%, less than 1%, had any illustrations of the Christmas story. What that teaches us is that many of us as a society are still in the dark about Jesus. We don't really understand him at all. John tells us Jesus came as light into the darkness. He came to show us what God is really like. We're not able to see God, but Jesus sheds light on who he is, because he is God. But have we understood him? Verse 18 of chapter 1 in John, he writes, no one has ever seen God, but God the one and only who is at the Father's side has made him known. So Jesus, he is God. We could also, just as an analogy, think of him like radar or sonar, a machine that, because we can't see God, Jesus makes him visible. We are able to see what God is like because of Jesus. But there's a danger there, isn't there, at Christmas? We get so wrapped up in the toys, we forget what they're for. And so it is with radar and such like. Let's take a really hard look this Christmas at what Jesus is like. If Jesus has come to bring light, to reveal what God is like, this Christmas, let's investigate Jesus. We're going to be looking at John's Gospel. I've got some of these John's Gospels. They're free after the service. Take one. Read it for yourself. Don't remain in the dark about Jesus. Investigate him. It's an easy mistake to make. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. But secondly, we can put it the other way too, can't we? We can see the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not put it out. I came across a great cartoon a little while ago that said, it was a picture of two cars crashing as they both reversed into the same parking space. And the caption was simply, the spirit of Christmas. Kind of sums it up a little bit, doesn't it? As with the Christmas truce, that is often our experience of Christmas. We don't like the light of Jesus. We want to shut it out. Because there's something penetrating about that light. The light on the Christmas trees, they show up the cobwebs as well as the presents, don't they? In fact, when I quoted John 1 verse 18 earlier, John's original readers would have read that a different way. They would have thought, because they were Jews, immediately of Moses in the Old Testament being told that you cannot see God. It's impossible to see God. And actually Moses in Exodus is sort of hid in the cleft of a rock and almost as if God covers him so that he just sees like the glimpse of the afterglow because his brilliance is so bright. And the Bible tells me that I am just the same when I stand alongside God. That his brilliance exposes what is wrong in me. like this candle shining its light. And that is why I want to snuff out the candle, to put it out. I don't like the light. It's convenient to shut it out. But the good news about Christmas is, and I'm looking at this candle because it's just about to burn down, so I'm going to have to light another one in a minute, I think. The good news about Christmas is that God didn't come at Christmas with a great big, 20-foot searchlight to sort of blast the darkness away with his brilliant light. Actually, Christmas tells us that he came as a little baby. He came like a weak and feeble light like that, looking all intents and purposes as if the flame might blow out. So yes, Jesus does show up the darkness in our own lives, but he came to do something about it. He's not some great killjoy who comes just to rub it in. Jesus didn't come to rub it in. He came to rub it out, to deal with the darkness once and for all, to enable us to have a relationship with God, to leave the darkness behind and to enter into the light. It's what he did on the cross. And that is God's offer to each one of us this Christmas and every Christmas. And I am indeed going to swap over candles, I think. So I'm going to light another one, otherwise this won't work. Jesus did come looking like a very feeble light into the world. But sadly, every year, people therefore mistake that because Christmas is Jesus, God come as a little baby, they think that the light is weak and helpless, and they can easily ignore it and push it out. Don't make that same mistake. Over the past 2,000 years, many people have thought that because the flame is weak and small, it is easy to snuff out, and they have failed. So, when Jesus was born, King Herod tried to put out the light. But he failed. And of course, the climax of John's Gospel actually is the darkness surrounding Jesus. And at his death on the cross, everyone thinking, well, that is the darkness destroyed once and for all, and the darkness really has overcome the light. But you can't. That's the whole point of the Christmas story. You cannot put out the light. And it's not just then. In Iraq, in Syria today, time and time again, because the candle, the flame is weak and helpless, people think they can master and put it out. But every time, it may take a while. Like he was 3 days in the grave. You cannot put out the light, because the darkness will never overcome the light. In fact, more than that, the death and resurrection of Jesus is actually God doing something about the darkness. Do you see that? That God is not removed and distant, uncaring. He's not like the generals in the First World War in cozy London, sending men over the top in no man's land, with telegrams. Actually, he steps into our world, doing something about the suffering and the pain in Jesus Christ. Now he sends his own Son to deal with our evil once and for all. And therefore the moment of deepest darkness in our society, in our history, is actually the moment of greatest victory for the light, the resurrection. So try to ignore him if you will. Jesus will always be there, like a trick candle, exposing the darkness, exposing my darkness. And however many times we try to put it out, we can't. For the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, nor can the darkness ever put it out. It's interesting, with the release of the film on New Year's Day about the life of Stephen Hawking, the physicist Stephen Hawking is going to be in the spotlight again, I imagine, over the new year. And that's interesting to me because Hawking, a Cambridge professor no less, has claimed that heaven is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. That's what he claims, and I'm not going to convince anyone. You need to decide about that for yourself, that heaven is just a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark. that Christians are people who cannot face the horrors of World War I or some of the pictures we've seen, and therefore we make up Christianity to help us cope with that. You've got to decide for yourself. But as you decide, as long as you realise that it cuts both ways. John Lennox is another professor, this time a professor of mathematics at Oxford University, and when he's a Christian, when he was told what Stephen Hawking had said, that Christianity is a fairy tale for those afraid of the dark, he responded like this. He said, "Oh, well, you would say that. I think that atheism is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the light." And you've got to decide which one you are. True, I probably have met some people who believe in Jesus because they can't really accept the alternative, but it works both ways. I've also met plenty of people who don't believe in God, not because of the evidence, but because they refuse to accept the implications. They are afraid of the light. So tonight we've seen that there are two sides of the Christmas story of John 1 verse 5. It's what the prophet Isaiah was talking about. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Jesus is that light shining in the darkness. He wants to be understood, but he'll never be mastered. So what about you this Christmas? Are you still in the dark about Jesus? Investigate, find out who he really is, and he will show God to you. But you'll never master him. You'll never shut him out. That's my challenge, and I want you just to think about that. And we're going to sing a couple more carols and have another reading, and I'll come back with a response. But while we sing these carols, let's think about Jesus, the light in the darkness that cannot be put out. Do you understand him?